Hi, this is Matthew Gattozzi from the future. Before you jump into this awesome podcast episode, I want you to know that some things have changed around here since this episode was published. The show was called How to Build an Audience, and now it's called How to Market Your D2C Brand. The setup is the same, but we now have more of a focus on who we are talking with and what we are actually talking about. So if you're confused, hopefully that clears it up. Lastly, we also changed our company name from Gattozzi Collective to Gudo Studios. A lot of rebranding has happened since season one of the podcast, but thanks so much for supporting us as we grow and change. Enjoy this podcast episode, and don't forget to subscribe to the show so you can listen to the new episodes coming out soon. Okay, thanks. Enjoy.
I tell people this all the time. I basically white-knuckled it into existence because I was not going to let it fail because I didn't know how else I would make money at the time.
Welcome to How to Build an Audience. We interview the top creatives, marketers, and communicators to help you become an expert at building an audience so you can grow your influence, increase sales, and effectively share your story. This show is brought to you by Gattozzi Collective. Hello and welcome to the first episode of How to Build an Audience. I am your host, Matthew Gattozzi. Today, I am talking with Jay Klaus. He is the founder of the Unreal Collective and Freelancing School. He started the Upside Podcast and most recently, Creative Elements Podcast. Jay is a writer and creator online looking to help freelancers and creatives thrive as business owners. Before going on his own, Jay had a successful career in product management by helping a digital ticket exchange startup Tixers get funded and acquired in 2015 by 1UP Sports. He then went on to be a product head at Crosschecks, now called Olive, before he dove into his own freelance business and started Unreal Collective. I met Jay through some mutual friends and was immediately drawn to his work. I've taken all of his courses on Freelancing School and I'm an avid listener of his podcast. I love his mission to help other creatives with their businesses, and the main reason why this podcast was started was because of Jay and what I had learned from him. I even used the script that he taught in Freelancer School on him when I asked him to be on this podcast. It is an honor to have him as my first guest on the podcast. In this episode, we cover Jay's path leaving the startup world to build Unreal Collective and his freelancing business. We talk about his early struggles building his clientele, but how he used networking and grit to build his business. We talk about how Jay stays consistent with creating each week and how he has been able to create more shows and programs as the years have gone on. We talk about how he's been successful at building a network and an audience around him that is devoted to his work each week. I would love to hear what you think as you're listening to the podcast, so reach out to me at Matthew Gattozzi on LinkedIn or Twitter and we can talk there. Now, let's talk to Jay.
So Unreal Collective is a community of founders and freelancers. It manifests itself both in an actual community platform, which is currently on Slack, and also a 12-week accelerator program. That came about because I didn't know what to do after I quit my job. And I knew that I needed to make enough money to live while figuring that out. And to be totally honest, Unreal was kind of what I thought was going to be a stopgap measure. I had a conversation with a lawyer friend who we just met for coffee. Actually, it was the first conversation we ever had. And sort of offhand, he said, you know, if I was you and I had the network that you do, I would consider facilitating mastermind groups. And I hadn't heard of that term before. So I looked more into it. And he basically said, yeah, I'm a lawyer. I meet with five other lawyers a couple times a month and we help each other grow our business. And to me at the time, I was actually living in a house with six other guys. Like it was a big house post-college. But the great thing was they were all entrepreneurs, musicians. There was a management consultant, but it was this innate sort of group of people who were all ambitious and pushing themselves. And I didn't realize that other people didn't have that built into their lives. So I started working towards that And as the years have passed, I've just gotten better and better. It's become a more core part of my business. And it's a lot of fun to run because I get to help people who are doing really great work. They're mostly creative, service-based professionals. And they're looking at me to say, hey, I know I do great work, but how do I build a sustainable living around this? And I learn a ton through the process. They rate it highly, so it must be working for them. And it will, you know, continue that way until it doesn't.
Yeah. So how did you get your first few clients? And like, was it hard to go on your own? Because obviously this wasn't something that you were building while you were working. And then it got to a point where you were like, okay, I can take the jump and go like full time. This was something that you started after the fact that you didn't have work. So how did you get the first few people to actually start paying you?
I was thinking about Unreal before I had totally quit my job. And my plan was that I was going to run a beta group to see how it goes and also to have a group of people who I could use as case studies. And I started thinking about that in March of 2017. I intended to start that first group in April 1st of 2017. And one of the people that I had lined up to be a part of it told me that he wasn't interested anymore and dropped out. And so I was kind of demoralized for a little bit of time and just didn't move as quickly as I thought I would. Quit my job sort of quickly in the middle of April. It was about a month sooner than I thought I would. And said, well, it's now or never. And just started moving forward with that same group, but adding in one more person. And so I met with that group weekly for about 8 or 10 weeks before I started packaging up their stories and their successes into a website to go out and sell that offering. And I tell people this all the time. I basically white knuckled it into existence because I was not going to let it fail because I didn't know how else I would make money at the time. So I was just having a ton of conversations with people who were business owners that I thought could benefit from it. Every one of those first 15 people that took part in the first cohort of Unreal, I think I had a personal conversation with before they signed up. And some of them I had to really convince to take a chance on me. And that was why they're signing up. They just trusted me. They didn't know anything about the program. They didn't know if it would work for them. And I had to go to bat and basically assure them, you know, this will work for you based on what I've seen and what I know about you and your business and what can work here. But I really just refused to let it not work. I had this whiteboard on my wall, and I still do this for every cohort of Unreal. I put a whiteboard up, and for the target number of people I want in a class, usually it's 15 or 20, I will write the digits 1 through 15 or 1 through 20, and I will look at it every day and have names underneath it of who I think those people are going to be. And if they tell me no, I scratch off their name, replace it with somebody else. If they tell me yes, I circle the number, and I don't stop until that board is circled, and it has to happen before the deadline is over. But it's not easy. Even years in, having worked with over 100 people, it's not a given that it will fill up every single time without some real proactive conversations and work from me.
Many people want to be paid to be themselves, and Jay has been able to successfully reach this mystical six-figure freelancing business, but it didn't start out that way. His first year, he scraped together $30,000.
I think it was a couple things, and maybe the most important is just commitment and understanding. That first year, I quit my job at the end of April. I didn't even really start working towards anything until probably late May or June. And at that time, I wasn't even considering myself a freelancer. I didn't really know what freelancing was. And so I was just flailing. I felt like I was looking around, not really sure what I was doing. And then once I realized, okay, I'm doing client services, that became a commitment to say, this is my business model. I sell work to other people. I sell this productized service of this accelerator membership to people. It's easier to make money when you know how you're going to do it. But then, you know, in any startup that I worked at previous to doing client services, we would talk about sales cycles. And in the company just previous to doing Unreal and everything. It was a healthcare company, healthcare startup. Sales cycles in the healthcare industry are pretty long. You start with conversations, and it could be 6, 12, 18 months before those bear fruit and turn into a contract. People in the world of freelancing don't talk about that enough, because usually it's not a sales cycle in client services. It's much more, well, some of them are, depending on if you're working with large companies. But a lot of times it's just relationships. The relationship is the sales cycle. And you can't have somebody who's interested in working with you until they know you, until they trust you. And that doesn't happen overnight. So if you can keep yourself in business for a couple of years, and all throughout that time, you're meeting people and having conversations and forming relationships, eventually some of those people are going to want to hire you. And it becomes a little bit of a numbers game, both between the people who know you and the people who are being referred by those people. It just kind of becomes easier the longer that you're doing it and doing good work and forming good relationships. You know, you can't just go through the motions. It has to be real. But yeah, I think identity and actually working proactively to start relationships, create. I do a lot of creating client projects as opposed to finding client projects, which we can talk about if you want. But it's not rocket science and it's not unobtainable.
When we come back, Jay talks about how he is able to create consistently on a weekly basis. This podcast is presented by Gatozi Collective. We are a marketing agency in Austin, Texas that teaches entrepreneurs how to create content and market their businesses. We can do the marketing for you or teach you how to do it yourself. Are you confused about where or how you need to market your business or side hustle? We have a free course that will clarify your marketing strategy in 5 days that you can sign up online at our website, GatoziCollective.com. Now, let's get back to the show. Jay Klaus produces 2 weekly podcasts, a weekly newsletter, blog posts, LinkedIn posts, tweets, and of course, his bigger projects. The guy has a lot of creating to do each week. I wanted to know about how he stays consistent and how that consistency over the last few years has helped him build his audience.
I've been trying to get better at articulating this because a lot of this came naturally to me, or I thought came naturally. But what I've come to realize is, again, going back to college, my first year in college, I thought I was going to be a journalist and I went into journalism. And the thing that you learn in journalism is that deadlines are more important than anything else. And if you miss the deadline, which was literally structured on, if we don't have your story by this time in the evening, we can't send it to the printer to print for tomorrow morning and it won't be printed. And not only will the work that you spent time on go to waste, your editor is pissed, there's a hole in the paper. Like, deadlines ruled everything in that world. And so it built this huge respect in me for deadlines and for commitments. And when I started to create content, I've just approached everything with a deadline and in the same way. Anything that I commit to, I am committed to. I'm slow to commit to things. I won't commit to things until I am absolutely certain that, yep, this is something I'm going to prioritize and I can deliver on this time frame, this quality of work. But if I'm committed to something, I'm committed to something. And there's just no getting around it. And I wish that I could gift that mindset to people, because where it falls through, I think, is if you make a commitment and you let it pass, let's take the block on my calendar that says I'm going to the gym at 6:30 in the morning. The first time that you go past that time and you don't honor that time block, you've now trained yourself to say, this isn't important and I can skip this.
Mm.
So once you make a commitment, you need to uphold it, or you will subconsciously subvert yourself and not do it. And once you do that, you need to somehow change that commitment in your mind to start fresh. Because as you prove to yourself time and time again that even the promises you make to yourself, you'll fulfill, you just train yourself to do that. And that's probably, you know, one of the most important aspects of creating things, because people won't tune in and pay attention to you until they think that you are legitimate and worth following. And people who are inconsistent aren't really worth following and don't appear to be legitimate to us. And it sucks, because since there's more content, more blogs, more podcasts, more whatever than ever before, we're slower to commit ourselves to paying attention. And you really have to prove to us that you're taking it seriously for us to take you seriously. And that might take 6 months. It might take 12 months. It might take a very long time for people to see, like, oh, this podcast that Matt created isn't just this shot in the dark. Like, it's 6 months later and he's still doing it. Maybe I should check it out. It might take that long for someone to check something out for the first time. And I think a lot of people give up because they think it's going to happen quicker. And in the game of content, it's just a war of attrition. You have to do it. You have to keep showing up. You have to keep creating mechanisms for people to discover your work and then follow it. You know, you have to create mechanisms where people can say, I want this download. Here's my email address or whatever. You know, there's probably 100 different places across the internet now that you can come across a place to sign up for my email list. That means that every day there's a higher and higher likelihood that someone's going to come across it. And then a higher likelihood that someone who's reading my work will share it, which will create another instance of that. It's just a numbers game. And you have to be consistent to get to a point where that actually pays off.
Jay has been able to grow his following exponentially through small, consistent actions each week. I'm an artist that comes up with a million ideas that I get paralyzed from taking action, or I can never fully go through an idea before a new one appears. Jay has been able to create new projects without his other work suffering.
I really try not to start new projects. Maybe the worst thing you can do is start a new project because everything has an inherent trade-off and opportunity cost. So when I started freelancing school, I took a little bit of time away from Unreal. When I started this new podcast, I took a little bit of time away from the other podcast. So everything that you start is probably at the detriment of everything else you already have in flight. So when I choose to start something, it's a very serious, again, commitment that I do in a very calculated way. Even Creative Elements, this podcast I'm working on that has gotten more positive feedback than anything else I've ever made. I was working on that for months before I told anybody about it. Because when I commit to something, I commit to something. And I wanted to spend a couple months working towards it to see if it was going to be viable before I even told people that it was going to be a thing. Once I know that's going to be a thing, I start telling people immediately because that's its own form of accountability. But I really look at how does this play a role in my overall long-term goals? And my overall long-term goals are that I want to be a writer. I want to write books. I want to make a living on my writing, on my podcasting. I want to make a living on the work that I do and not the clients that I serve necessarily. That's the long-term goal. And to do that, I need resources. I need time and I need capital to sustain that lifestyle because writing books is not a profitable way to spend your time. It's just not. And neither is podcasting in the beginning. And so people don't make it through that war of attrition. But the way to do it is to build an audience, make work that they care about, that solves problems for them, that they're willing to pay for. And so Unreal, you know, is this great economic engine where I get to help people. I get to learn about my clients' problems. It pays the bills. And honestly, it doesn't take a ton of my time week to week. It frees up enough time for me to work on other things. And instead of working on client work, now I funnel that time into the platform that is Freelancing School, where I have courses, and now I'm creating more free content like articles. And I will continue to do that until I have a lot more organic traffic coming through there. And I'll probably, you know, pile on some affiliate marketing programs or affiliate marketing partnerships so that those articles, which may be free and help people, can point people towards resources that I get a small bit of compensation if they use. You know, it's anything that I choose is towards that goal of, is this helping me to create an independent living for myself where I have total control over my time and can put all of my time where I want? And I am not accountable to anybody else other than the people that I serve. And if the answer is no, then I don't do it because it's going to take away from the other things that are working towards that goal.
Jay is anchored in his why. When he starts a project, he is in it for the long haul because he understands why he created the project in the first place and believes in how this new project can build his brand and business.
Everything builds on itself. you know, and you won't know how it's building on itself. You'll just look back and be able to connect the dots afterwards. But, you know, I am more of a proponent now of thinking about quality and experience and design from the beginning. You know, I spent a lot of time just brute force creating things, which was great for building the habit and getting some early adopters and early people paying attention. But it's the difference between, you know, if you're riding a bicycle and you're on flat land and you're in first gear, you're pedaling your ass off and you're moving forward, you know, it doesn't feel very efficient, but you're moving forward. Then when you flip into third gear, you're going 3, 4, 5 times as far on each pedal. And that's the difference between focusing more on the design of something up front. It feels a lot more like riding a bike in third gear. And I'm trying to do more of that now. Question is, can you get to third gear without starting in first? I don't know. Probably. You have to start somewhere. You have to have something to build upon. But that can be your experience in a job. It can be anything that you've done beforehand. It might lend itself.
Yeah. I think a lot of people second guess their experiences. And I think we have way more power and things to offer to other people and services and help to offer to other people than we even imagine for ourselves. But I think that, like you said, it takes time. At first, it's going to be a hustle, right? Like at first you got a whiteboard out and you're calling everybody, you know, and it's not as natural and you're trying to like learn how to do this thing. How do you produce this idea and make this a real thing and put real value to it? Have somebody actually pay for this idea that was in your head. But then as you get this momentum, you start building other projects, you start to see, okay, this project can then lift me to this and I can then, you know, create this next step and this will help, you know, my previous projects. And there's this funnel and there's momentum and, you know, it takes time to get there. But I think like the biggest thing I've taken away from this time is that it just takes time.
Yeah.
It just, you got to put in the steps day in and day out. It's not enough just to think it's just going to go viral in a snap of your fingers. It takes days, it takes weeks, it takes months, it takes years, and it just takes a lot of effort to put into it. And you have to really believe in what you're doing and believe in your long game to actually want to put in the effort today on the smaller tasks.
That belief is really important. You can accomplish a lot with confidence. You know, if you've ever walked into some room or some area you weren't supposed to by just acting like you knew what you were doing and experience the fact that no one questions you, the same is true in a lot of things that you do. If you have genuine belief in what you're doing and genuine confidence, people sense that. They also sense the opposite. You know, if you have your whiteboard up and you're calling people and you're not confident that you can help them or serve them, they're going to feel that. No one's going to believe in you until you believe in you.
Have you ever like burnt out or wanted to quit as like your own like name brand? Because everybody's always been like, oh, I want to get paid to be me, basically. And you're kind of doing it, but it obviously takes hard work to build that. Have you ever felt like wanting just to like get out of it and just call it quits?
Yeah, I mean, all the time things feel hard. I am constantly questioning, you know, before I went out on my own, I was a product manager. And I know that as a product manager, I could earn anywhere between $100,000 and $200,000 a year in a job. And I walk away from that every moment that I am not employed as a product manager. That's a huge opportunity cost. So obviously, it's not about the money for me. Obviously, I see a bigger opportunity. And I just don't think there's anything more valuable than being paid and supported for your work from people who are eagerly looking to read it, listen to it, follow it. That's just like the best quality of life I could ever imagine, the most fulfilling way of living that I could ever imagine. But constantly I ask myself, you know, if my goal is to create work that people notice and appreciate, and my funding mechanism right now is still predominantly client services and doing those projects on the side, does it make more sense to have a job and earn more and be bounded to the hours of 9 to 5 and have before 9 and after 5 to do those client projects or do my own projects? Possibly. That might actually give me more open time, more money, more comfort, more peace of mind. But I just don't want to do it. I don't want to have a boss. But I ask that all the time. And another alternative to that, that I don't think people think about or talk about enough, is an apprenticeship model. Whether it's part-time or full-time, if you know what you want to do and you can identify people who are doing that really, really well, and you can be or become their right-hand person by reaching out to them and saying, listen, I want to take as much off your plate as I can. I need a little bit of money to make a living, but I really just want to learn everything I can. There's a guy that I know that did this, pitched this way to Gary Vee a few months ago. Now he works very closely with Gary Vee on a completely new arm of VaynerX, VaynerMedia. And
wow,
what an awesome way to both learn at a really high level, build a network naturally in doing that work, and then have a ton of access and influence from that person that you've apprenticed with. Now, you know, the key is that you have to choose someone that can give you those things. You know, Ryan Holiday, when he was coming up, worked with Robert Greene, one of the most like well-known celebrated authors of our time. Amazing. I ask myself all the time, should I just go and try to apprentice for Ryan Holiday? You know, things like that. But at the end of the day, the platform that I'm trying to build is about personal freedom and making your own living, making your own way. And I can't make that promise if I'm not doing it. So as hard as it is, I know that my North Star is working through that all the time and getting closer and closer and closer. And, you know, here I sit in 2020 and I'm making more money this year than I've ever made in a year. And it's amazing. I was just telling my girlfriend, I'm like, this is the most comfortable I've felt as an entrepreneur. And it's weird. And it's presenting a new set of challenges, but it's like, okay, I'm starting to see these signals that things are working. I'm starting to see that, okay, the growth on everything from subscribers to listeners to views and traffic, my Ahrefs rating, like everything's improving quickly, quicker than ever. This is working. But it takes years. You know, there are these guys who run a podcast called Tropical MBA, and their thesis is what they call the 1,000-day rule. That'll take 1,000 days as an entrepreneur to replace the salary that you had at your last job. And I'm like just hitting that time right now. Huh. And it's playing out. I think there's some nuance there, depending on if you're doing client services or creating a product, for example, but it's pretty close.
As we end the podcast, we will finish with a segment called Open Mic. We are going to end each episode by giving the guests a space to share about anything that is on their mind, more advice, or anything else that could be off-brand.
I just don't think there's any reason to live a life that you don't love. Now, there are some very practical reasons. There are constraints, there are limitations, but you should know where you want to be, and you should start to craft a plan to get there. And it can take a long time, but to me, there's no reason to not be building and then executing a plan to get to the life that you want, even if it takes a long time, even if you have to spend the 30 hours or 30 minutes in the morning every day, and that's all you can do, that's okay. Start building. I am more and more convinced that in some ways, I think it's harder and easier than you'd expect to make a living from your work. Because in the beginning, it's really hard. You're going one by one. It feels slow. It feels like you're putting in way more effort than is paying off in the beginning. But it's not linear. It's an exponential effect. It's a compounding effect. So if you can put that time in and build one by one and have these relationships that are meaningful and have advocates out there talking about your work because it's really good, eventually there's an inflection point and you have enough of those people, enough of those advocates, enough people sharing your work, enough people talking about your work that it builds on itself naturally. And if it's hit that level of quality and, you know, let's take actual math. you have 100 people following you, and three of them are proactively sharing your stuff. Eventually, that's going to be 200 people with six people sharing your stuff, which will quickly become 300 people with nine people sharing your stuff. But if anyone who is an advocate turns into three more people, you know, three people become nine, nine become 27, 27 becomes, oh my gosh, 81. That compounds and it works really quickly. You just have to be consistent, have a level of quality, be in service to other people, and get started somewhere. And make sure that the wall that you're climbing, make sure your ladder's up against the right wall. Make sure you're climbing the wall that you want to be climbing, because the climb is hard.
I love it. How would you say for somebody that's just starting out or hearing this for the first time, they want to build a plan? How do they start with understanding how they can find their unique vision and unique drive for their life, or where the end point, how did you find your end point and what you wanted?
I think even without realizing it, if you look at the people you follow on Instagram or Twitter or TikTok or whatever platform that you follow people on, there's probably a kernel of truth that you can find in why you're following them. There's going to be some subset of people that you're following because you have these hidden, maybe even to yourself, aspirations of living a life like they're living. And look through and figure out, when I'm stopping and I'm looking at this person's work, why is that? Is it because I just love the work? Is it because I have this little bit of shadow artist within me where I want to be doing that same work? And if that's the answer, then that's your starting point and you got to work in that direction. And the path won't be clear immediately. You know, every day is made up of thousands of decisions, and those decisions should majority be working towards that outcome. And, you know, as you're making those decisions, ask yourself, is this working towards that North Star? Am I directionally correct here?
This conversation inspired me to keep going, stay diligent, and be consistent with the work that I am producing. Through calling everyone he knows, networking, and producing, Jay has been resilient over the years to build his brand to where it is today. He has gone from scraping together $30,000 in his first year as a freelancer to the expert of thriving as a creative and freelancer. I highly recommend his two podcasts, The Upside and Creative Elements, as well as his freelancing school, which will all be linked in the show notes. Thank you to Jay for being on the show. If you like this show, tweet me at Matthew Gattozzi. And if you really love this show, drop a rating on Apple Podcasts or your podcast listening app, and I will talk to you next week. This podcast is presented by Gattozzi Collective. We are a marketing agency in Austin, Texas that teaches entrepreneurs how to create content and market their businesses. We can do the marketing for you or teach you how to do it yourself. Are you in need of a logo? We have a team of creatives to help you with all your marketing and design needs. You can reach out to us by emailing us at hello@gattozzicollective.com or visit us online at our website, gattozzicollective.com. We hope that you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you in the next episode.